This is very important to me. I just don't ask it because I need to hear God. Typically this time of year, looking towards 2018. And so I was in my office today asking the Lord what He had for us in 2018. He said, I got the same thing as I did in 2013. So this message tonight was preached in 2013 here in this church. Not much has changed. But when you asked me to come here in 2013, I came with a fresh voice, outside, an outsider looking in, and slowly my voice has become part of the furniture. So I realize that when I talk, it may not be as effective as it used to be, so we're just praying that the Lord would speak to us. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Because I may not be here next week. There are no guarantees. And so our legacy is what we're looking for. What are we doing to... The Lord's on the move. I hear that every day from the Lord. He's moving. And we've somehow created, you and I, a rut. And if we want change, how many know change is the hardest thing to do? Talk about it? Yeah, we'll talk about it. You know, it's like that, you look at yourself in the mirror, you go, man, I am going to exercise. By golly, I'm going to exercise. So you go out and buy spandex at Walmart. You know, got your spandex pants, you got your shorts on, and you try them on. You know, you're at the house, you try to get the spandex and the shorts, and you look in there and you say, I don't look too bad. You sit and watch TV and eat your ice cream, go to bed. And then in the morning when you get up, I don't want to go. I don't want to exercise. So you go like that for a couple weeks and then you put your spandex back on. A little tighter this time. You look in the mirror and say, I don't look too bad. I got to go. Got to exercise. How many know until you do it, until you change your lifestyle, it's always going to be the same thing. Talk about it? Sure, we can talk about it. Preach about it? Sure, we can preach about it. Come on, somebody. Over this last year, we've used the baptismal once. One time. I came here for revival. I don't know what you're here for. I came for revival. And how to get there, how to change. Is it okay if I just be just unload? When we remodeled the kitchen. Oh man, we can remodel the kitchen. We're going to have good food. We're going to have a good kitchen. We talk about remodeling the sanctuary. Wait a minute. Voted a couple years ago to have a church a half an hour later so we could get some of the young folks out. No, we don't want to go a half an hour later. Let's keep it the way it is. Come on, somebody. And just implement a little change. Maybe God's calling. I don't know. I don't understand that. I'd be getting more junk calls. Anybody been getting junk calls on your phone? Man, every 10 minutes somebody's calling me and wanting to sell me something. Remortgage my home. So I want to talk tonight about the role of new life, the role of the church in 2018. What I feel, this is just me. I mean, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness, I feel like. But I was asked to come and direct. That's what I'm trying to do, is direct. And one of the things I know is that it's very hard, like I just said, it's very hard to change. So we went to Walmart, got the spandex. We don't look too bad in it. We say we can do it. We say we can change, exercise our faith and see the church grow, but it ain't happened. Because we've really not implemented any change. If what we were doing worked before, it would have worked. You know, you experiment with stuff and you try this and you try that, and it doesn't work. But anyway, what's the Word of God say in general about the church and our role in it? We've been talking a lot about individual growth. We've just gone through most of the book of Hebrews. We're getting into some real heavy parts here in the next few weeks. But and then prior to that, we went through the book of Romans together. We went through the book of Acts together, and we've kind of got an idea of who we're supposed to be individually. But when we come together, what's new life look like? Is it new life attractive, and it can attract the outsider? It can attract what we've been praying for as young people. Young people don't want to know from nothing for the church. You know what I'm talking about. Young 20s, older 20s, early 30s. We can't seem to touch them. They're going somewhere. I don't know, you know, churches that are drawing them. I don't know what the key is, and that's what I'm asking for, the key. But in general, outside of all of that, outside of looking for the specifics, the local church, we are part of the most important facet of the kingdom of God. Right here. When we join ourselves to local church, that's the most important facet of what God does. Yes, the universal church. Yes, the individual. It's very important. We love Him. He loves us. All that gushy blah, blah, blah stuff. But when we come together as a local church, we are the light. We're the city on a hill. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the ones that are supposed to change the atmosphere, the environment around us. It's here that the interconnectedness of the kingdom is realized, right here. Right here where it's fleshed out. And if all we're doing is conducting ourselves in a Christian manner on Wednesday nights and on Sundays, we've missed what the kingdom of God is about. The other 164 hours a week, God is saying, I want you to reach out. And the support system that we have here, the love that we have for one another, causes us strength. You know, when you leave here, it says the mission, you're now entering the mission field. How true that is. Christ declared His love and passion for the church. He spoke to individuals in strong ways, but when He talks about the church in Matthew 16:18, He said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, Jesus has a plan for the church, and how that's worked out, how that's fleshed out, is much more precise than we first knew. Much more precise. Because, yes, the universal church, yes, the presence of the Holy Spirit on the earth, yes, the special meetings, yes, all of that. Yeah, I get that. But the local church is the most important facet, the single most important facet of the kingdom of God. Because that's where lives are changed. And areas are changed for the Lord. The local church is where we can see Christ in His full glory, in His operation. And that's supposed to be in the local church. If you'll turn to Ephesians, we're going to spend a little time there in the next 3 or 4 hours. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, to the intent. Let's read before, because actually, that's a run-on sentence there if we start there. Let's start in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. Everybody there? You there? Smile at me, and it may be up there, but that's okay. Ephesians 3, 8. Actually, is that where, am I in the right place? To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery? Who is all, by the way? The world. All is all. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Why did He create all things through Jesus Christ? To the intent, or therefore, it could be replaced with therefore, that now the manifold wisdom, the variegated wisdom, Another, well, I believe the New International Version says, the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. There's that church down there. They always have those chicken dinners in the spring. Yeah. There's that church down there. They have the trunk or treat every October. Hey, there's that church down there. They have that fancy sign out front. How many know what the local church, the scripture says here that the local church, the manifold wisdom of God might be known by us, the local church. To who? The principalities and powers. If we're going to get anything done in any community, the local church needs to first bind the powers that be over the area and keep them bound. Come on, somebody. That the manifold, variegated, many-sided wisdom of God might be made known by the church. If you do a little word study on that church, it's the local church, not the universal church. By the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. There are things that are binding Rochester and Fulton County that will stay put until we throw them out. Individually, never get it done. It was never meant for individuals to go against principalities. It was meant that the church would go against the principalities. One of the strongest meetings I've been in a couple years, and I've said that in probably in 10 years, was out at Tim Sheets' church in Middletown, Ohio. When we came together in one accord in one place, Chuck Pierce spoke about releasing the confusing angels on the nation. And I felt a oneness I hadn't felt in years. And we together declared, confusing angels be released. Man, it's been confusing ever since that day. Against principalities and powers. We came against we released angels that would confuse everything. Governments confused, politics confused, education's confused, genders are confused. Men are bringing out all, so we're almost at a place where everybody's sick and tired of hearing it. It's ridiculous. Anybody with common sense knows it's just ridiculous. So the local church's first job that I see, if we're going to have the revival that God has promised us all, is that we take the authority over the principalities and powers. How that's fleshed out, I mean, we've got to get in a right place. We've got to get in the right mind. It's not chicken dinners and signs. It's taking authority as a church. Look over in Ephesians 1. Just flip the page to Ephesians 1, verse 22. And it says this. Is it verse 22? Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And He put all things under His feet. All things. Come on, somebody. All things under His feet and have... And gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Wait a minute. What's verse 22 said? And gave Him to be head over all things to the what? To the church. Now, individually, we're the church. I hear people say all the time, where's the church? I'm the church. Well, that's right. You're part of the church. But how many know together, corporately, we are the church? And Christ made everything to be made, to be put under our feet, and we're head over all things. The enemy under our feet, we're head over all things. How many think the church is doing a good job in Fulton County of living that? Which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So the nature of the church means the called out ones. Ecclesia, the called out ones. And we could go into that, but called out means exactly that. We're called out. Come out from among them and be separate. We ought not to talk or walk or act like the world. We should be different. Kyriake also means that which belongs to the Lord. So we're called out to something. We're not just called out to be weird. We're called out and we belong to God. And God is going to manifest His power through His church. The church is God's present instrument or His vehicle. in the earth through which He desires to extend His kingdom and fulfill His purpose. It's nice that we have nice kitchens. It's nice that we have chicken dinners. It's nice that we have good signs. It's nice that we get along together. It's nice that we have attractive buildings. It's nice that all those are nice things. They're not terribly wrong. But if that's where we're centered, come on, somebody. 10 years from now, we'll be sitting here saying the same thing. Put the spandex on, look in the mirror and say, it's time to go exercise. But it never occurs. It's carrying it out. It's obeying what the Word says. The church has two main aspects, the universal and the local. The universal church is that company of believers in Christ from all ages, living and dead, who are called by God and are part of His family. You can look those scriptures up in Ephesians 1:22 and Ephesians 3:21, 5:25 through 32. The universal church, we're part of that universal believing church that's in heaven and on earth. And it's a great thing when God gives us revelation of that. Have you ever just been worshiping and you sense all the ones that have gone before the cloud of witnesses? And you don't dare open your eyes, because if you did, you'd see as far as you could see in either direction people worshiping before the throne of God. Am I the only one that's ever got that? And you just feel... You feel like destiny, part of that universal church. That's powerful. But that's not the practical side of things. Come on, somebody. God wants to work that out practically in us. The local church consists of a group of believers in given localities, which are marked out by, number one, confession of faith. We believe, hopefully, we believe on major things we come together, on minor things. You know, if you want to drink a glass of wine, drink a glass of wine. You know, the minor things are the minor things. The major things, confession of faith, we come together in unity. The discipline of our life. Hopefully we're carrying Jesus wherever we go. We're the example even when there's nobody around. Come on, someone. Obedience and baptism. You know, we do that. The gathering together to Jesus Christ and the gifted ministries from Christ. Why is it important to have an understanding of the universal invisible church? We can see the connection to all believers past and present. It's not just something we're doing here in Fulton County. It's something from all over the world. Hebrews 12:1 and 2 says, offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is just our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our faith, that we'll not only know, but prove what is acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. No, that's Romans 12 I just quoted. Hebrews 12 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What's it say? We are surrounded by the church. We're surrounded. It's important to know we can see all believers in the world are truly one in Christ. You talk about an organism. There ain't nothing stronger and bigger than the church. Come on, somebody. And God seems to empower us with the fact that we're not only surrounded by believers, we're surrounded by those who have parted in a cloud of witnesses around us. I don't understand that. I'm not dead yet, so I don't know what they see. But those that have passed on are listening and seeing and being part of what's happening here on the earth. Come on. They're involved. We can't communicate with them, but you better believe they're rah, rah, ree. Kick them in the knee, you know. They're up there cheering us on. Before the throne, interceding with Christ. Man, let the church. So it's very important that we get a vision of understanding the universal invisible church. We can see the huge work God is doing all over the earth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is working through the church to win everybody that's supposed to be with Him. The Lord is not slack in His promises. Why is it important, if it's important about the universal church, why is it important to have an understanding of the local church? And in our day and age, one of the things that has saturated our society is this attitude of a post-Christian church. The last, those who in theological seminaries, those that have spoke into what, you know, the brains of the outfit, you know, the teachers, the universal teachers have said we're in a post-Christian era. I come against that in Jesus' name. We're not post-Christian anything. I mean, we're Christian. The church is still here, stronger than ever. Come on, somebody. If Jesus said He'd build His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, how many know He's building His church? How many know the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church? But in many ways, we're splintered. In many ways, we've splintered ourselves because we like the chicken dinners and the signs and the 2 hours and the 3 hours on this and the 164 hours. We're just too busy for everything else. Everything that we got, all the trappings that we got in society, we're busier now than we've ever been, and everything that we got is supposed to make us less busy. Faster cars, faster hookups, you know, faster, you know, you get on the computer faster. 3 hours later. Come on, somebody. It's important not to exalt the universal church above the local in our practical living. I love some of the Bible teachers in our society. I really do. But they're not here. They're not here. I am. We are. And what's strong for our community? The Bible uses the word church. Some 114 references are clearly to the local church. We must put the emphasis where God does. If God's talking about the local church 75% of the time, how many know we've got to focus on the local church? On what Jesus looks like through us. It's the local church where we're going to put our covenant commitment into practice. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother, and that whole thing. Covenant commitment into practice. Some of it's house cleaning in the local church. I don't see any of that happening here. I think God moved some people physically out of here. They moved long ways away because they didn't need to be here. We're still fighting some things that they left behind. Come on, somebody. I don't need to get personal. I'm just saying it. But this covenant commitment means that we live a standard. And if you're not going to live that standard and you've been told to live it, come on, somebody. We don't want to exercise that kind of thing because we don't want to offend somebody. We don't want to exercise that thing because we don't want to get sued. Come on, somebody. The local church has become, you know, we're scared. We want to be an important facet of the community, but we want to fit in. You know, a bunch of us pastors was called, they're having committees all over the county now. Poverty committee, drug committee, this committee, that committee. And so they're forming all these committees, and they're asking us to be a part of it, but they don't want Jesus as the answer. Jesus is just maybe a answer because people don't feel comfortable. One of the conversations we got into, there's about 40 or 50 people in the room, and they said people are uncomfortable going to church. We don't want them to go to church. We want them to, you know, there's got to be another way. Shut us down. So the pastors are saying, man, Jesus is the answer. He's not just a answer. If you just want us as the checker to the side to king the ones that are, if you want us just, you know, in a clutch thing to come in and speak. When we have the truth, I'm sorry that you think you have the truth or a truth. Guess what? We've got the truth. It's not a pride way. Come on, somebody. Local church needs to realize that we're working for the man. He is the answer. But somehow the local church got painted in a corner and says, whenever you need to hear from us, call on us and we'll come. There, that 3 years ago, when we had to, two years ago, when we had the suicide at the high school, they called the pastors in and let us sit in the library and said to the kids, if any kids need to come and talk to pastors, and a slew of them came. I said, you know, that might be a good idea once, twice a week. Don't wait for a suicide. Get us in there. We have the answer. No. But if the power that God intended for the local church begins to operate in the local church, you'll have to turn people away. I'm sorry, we're closed. What do you mean you're closed? You have the answer, right? One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the 90s when God was moving in various places was church was 24-7. It had somebody at the building at all times because there's people come and say, man, what's the answer? You didn't even have to ask them to come. They didn't care when service started. Service didn't start till 7. They were lined up at 10 o'clock in the morning with their water and their umbrella and their coat. Come on, somebody. You had to beat them away from the front door. Jesus is the truth, not a truth. The local church. It's the local church where we are growing to maturity. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers for the edifying of the body, for the working out of the Holy Spirit. It's the local church where we grow to maturity. It's where we grow up. It's the local church where our ministry and function is realized. Whenever I was in South Carolina, I worked for a time, before I worked selling cars, I worked for a time going door to door selling security. Try that. Try knocking on the door and tell somebody they need security. Especially when they come to the door with a gun. That's South Carolina. Yeah, I got my security, son. Get away from my door. My security, yours is ADT, mine's Smith & Wesson. Come on, somebody. But what we did was we went through a training and so we would role play. You know what I'm saying? Any objection that might come up was, you know, one salesman would take the role of the customer and the other would be the salesman. And so you'd come up with all these negatives and you were given answers how to answer those negatives. And so we did it over and over and over again until we became pretty adept. Everybody's patting on the back. Yeah, you meant that negative. Then all of a sudden you go to the real world, knock on somebody's door, and they come up with a negative you didn't practice. Like especially when they're spitting their food out against their glass saying, what are you doing at my door at dinner time? And see, we as a local church have talked about witnessing, have talked about people coming to Christ, and we role play all the time. What would you do if this happened? Oh, well, this, you just tell them Jesus loves them. And then we go out into the real world and we start to talk to people about Jesus and they don't play their part. Come on, somebody. They just don't play their part. You're not supposed to talk like that. You're supposed to talk like this. It's what we're supposed to. You're not the world. Man, we've got to know who we are in Christ. And the local church has got to be a place that has the answers consistently. Yes, we're mature, but we're our ministry and function in this petri dish, in this environment that we've created. We go through all the role playing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Why are we so reluctant to pull that out and begin to use it? I became pretty adept at being able to get my foot in the door and get somebody's house and just being, listening to them and answering their questions, even when, you know, my proudest moments were when somebody said no and half an hour later I'm writing them up. Come on, somebody. Everybody knows the first thing out of somebody's mouth when you're trying to talk them into anything is negative. I don't need it, and I don't want it. Come on, somebody. And you realize that you may not be leading that person to Christ, but you are planting a seed. You are planting a seed. Sanctioned by and jettisoned by and empowered by the local church. It's the local church where we find protection from deception. It's where we can come and bounce things off one another. I had a conversation with Sherry before church tonight. And getting an understanding of what we're hearing from God, that's what we're here for. But it goes beyond that. The mystery from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:9 says, and then what we read earlier, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. We as Christians, words that describe us, we're brethren, all divisions abolished. It's time for the church to come together. One of the things that we're looking at as pastors in the community, we're beginning to talk and say, where did we, because we've gotten lukewarm. Man, when we first started to get, we get together twice a month. When we first started to get, you couldn't get, there was nobody talking. When we came in, we got their bottle of water and our Bible. At 10 o'clock hit, we started to pray. 10 to 11, we prayed. Now we know each other. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. I was over there and we did that and blah, blah, blah. And the grass is green, the sky's blue, and the stars are out. And pretty soon it's 10:30. Oh, that's right. We've got to pray. Come on, somebody. We lose our edge. We forget the seriousness of the hour. This is serious business we're doing, you and I. This isn't something we're just doing to fill Wednesday evening because we don't want to sit home and watch TV. When we come together, we're coming together for training. When we come together, we're coming together for ideas and facets and strength and power and prayer. And so when we leave here, we're lights and salt and the others and the... We're believers, common doctrine of faith in Christ. We're saints, consecrated. We're holy ones. Peter says, we're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Come on, somebody. When we go to Kroger's, do we feel like priesthood or do we feel like somebody that, you know. We are the chosen of God, the elect. How many know we're chosen of God? Turn to somebody and say, God chose me. Hand selected us. Every time I think about that, I just break out in this song. I just, God, you mean you chose? Yes, I chose you. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I said, God, I would have passed over me and picked somebody else. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been that way with God? God, I just would have, hey, I'm a work in progress, man. You could have got somebody else already down the road. God said, no, I chose you because I see something in you. I see me in you. We're disciples, learners, under spiritual training, under spiritual authority, and we never stop learning. Pastor Brad and I spent some time together this morning and we were talking about being Christ-like, being Christians, and growing in the power of Christ. How many know we're always growing in the power of Christ? We're always learning, and we are coming to the truth. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus is on the earth and lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We're an organism, not organization. It's amazing to me. Every time I go, when I was in Mexico a couple of months ago, I met people in the church and we started to talk in two different languages. They're talking Spanish. I'm talking American. And we're brothers. We're sisters, right? Brother and sisters right away. You sense the family familiarity. You can see Jesus in them. All the strangeness is gone. Come on, somebody. You find yourself hugging them. You only talk to them for 5 minutes. Why? That's the universal thing. That's the body of Christ coming together. We're an organism, not an organization. We're called the temple of God. He resides in the local church as Lord. The local church is powerful. I'm waiting for the day when people drive by this building and the fear of God hits them. Man, what's going on over there? I sense something. I have a vision of my heart full of sin, and they can fix it. Let's go there. Come on. Woo! Yeah. Yeah, we've had a couple stop. Well, we want that to grow. We want that to grow. The bride of Christ, we're called. The communion and union of God with man. We're the bride of Christ. He's adorning us. He's always working with us. Never does he come in a ho-hum way when the local church comes together. We may be ho-hum, but how many know God's on his game? We come together and we worship like we did tonight. God said, man, I want to be a part of that. I inhabit the praise of my people. He doesn't come half-heartedly. He doesn't come with something else in mind. He comes to minister to us, to strengthen us. Why? For that, for the mission field. The founding of the church was prophetically considered. Matthew 16, I'll build my church. And it's historically considered. Came into being at the day of Pentecost, the Shekinah glory returning to the earth, returned to the disciples. The Shekinah glory of God that was in the Holy of Holies that only the high priest got to see once a year. The Shekinah glory that showed up when the temple was done. Solomon finished the temple. The glory of God hit. The cloud of God hit. How many know God transferred all that glory to the individual? We are all little arcs. We walk around, the glory of God's in us. The fire of God. We have a power plant inside, and it's churning out the power of God all the time. It's not something that you just go here and go there. All of us have a power plant within us. The power plant of the local church, the power plant of we change things, we come together, we stoke each other's coals, and we say, go, do, be. The power of God available to us. And membership means so much. I laugh when I think about, every time I think about membership. First church I pastored, they had went down all the way down to 15 people. And when I got there, I remember the first Saturday I was there, came over to the church. I was moving stuff, moving boxes in the office. If you could call it an office, we don't even go there. There were people there drinking coffee. And it was like they were in a club. You know what I'm saying? I came in, they were kind of lounging around. Hey, Paz, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Welcome. And one guy pulled out his wallet, and he says, man, did you see this? He said, I've been a member in good standing. And he pulled out his card, and it says, member in good standing of Christian Church of Peekskill. That was the name of the church whenever I came. And he said, every year I get that renewed. We get a card saying that we're part of the local church here. Man, you have to be kidding me. He wanted me to be impressed. I said, I'm not impressed. What in the world is that? My first board meeting, I said, what is all this membership card stuff? Well, that's what Graziano Sanzo was, the first piece of that Italian guy. That's what he said, you know, when somebody asked where we go to church, pull that card out. And I said, yeah, is that the same guy that was found in bed with two women? He was. That's the same guy that the wisdom that he had. He was found in bed with two women and you're carrying his card. Let's get rid of the cards. We won't have any more cards. Come on, somebody. Membership of the church, implicit faith in the gospel and its message. We have a standard that we want to live. We're not browbeating everybody. It's not a sin. We don't have to agree on everything. Thank God we don't agree on everything. Come on, somebody. If we agreed on everything, we'd be in trouble. But an implicit faith in the gospel, heartfelt trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, course, water baptism and verbal confession of faith that we talked about before. The work of the church is to preach salvation, to provide means of worship, and to provide fellowship. And we want people to grow. We want people to change. We've seen a couple of that. One of the great things that I'm thanking God for this year is we've sent, now we have a representative from Little Old New Life Church in Africa with YWAM. She's right there now. She's in Africa. When I first met, not to talk about anybody, Julia's not here tonight. Where's Julia? Not to talk about anybody. When I first met Margaret, she wouldn't leave her house except to come to church. She sat in her bedroom and drew things, pencil drawings. And they weren't good things that she was drawing. How many remember that? 5 years ago. Man. And we just poured into her, told her she could do it, told her that pretty soon she got a job, pretty soon she was out. She actually liked doing what she was doing. God spoke to her. I remember the first time she came, she said, God spoke to me about going to Indonesia. I was like, what? Indonesia? We just got you out of your trailer into the job. You want to go to Indonesia? No, God told me. I'm having dreams about Indonesia. Come on, somebody. She's living the dream right now. She's in a foreign country preaching the gospel. That's a tremendous thing. Yeah, she was a shy, backward, didn't want anything to do with any kind of work or society or living outside. It's a miracle. She's preaching the gospel, huh? She sent me something on Facebook when she was with YWAM. They were down in whatever city they're near there. What is it? Chico. They were down in Chico on the street witnessing. Margaret's out there. I mean, she went out with us a couple times. Out with Mick and I. Man, she's a little fireball. Yes. Of course, the ordinances of the church, you know what that is. The baptism mode, immersion, baptismo, to totally immerse the recipient, someone who is sincerely repentant. The efficacy of the baptism does not have salvation power, but it's obedience. We want to get this thing. I like to use it every Sunday. I said, Lord, I was just thinking about that today. I said, we haven't used that baptismal but once this year. I said, maybe I ought to quit and get an honest job. We got to say, we got to get people saved, man. The clock is tick, 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 tick. The Lord's Supper. Instruction, inspiration, assurance, responsibility. We are called as a local church to be a worshiping church. The public service carried on is moved by the Spirit. I love what's happening to the worship team and the sensitivity that we have to the Holy Spirit. How many were here Sunday morning? This sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That does more than 9 counseling sessions. One time in the presence of God when the body of Christ is gathered together. And you get healed. When you really want to get healed by God, can I chase a rabbit just for a second? I don't know if I ever told this story. If I did, you'll have to hear it again. Years ago, I went to see The Color Purple. Now, I don't suggest that you see the movie, but somebody talked me into going to see The Color Purple. I almost walked out because it's not good in places. But I was right at the 3/4 of the way through the movie, and the Holy Ghost spoke through somebody on that film and began an inner healing in me that I could have never gone anywhere else. When I left that movie, my wife laid hands on me, and something that had been stuck in me since I was 10, that happened when I was 10 years old, I got delivered from. Out of a movie. I didn't tell anybody at the time, because, you know, I was part of the local church there, the Assembly of God, and movies was not the best thing that you did in those days. And I went to see the movie at a suggestion of somebody else. But I got healed. When you really want to get healed, you get healed. Yeah, Oprah was in that, yeah. I do not say, please don't go see it unless God says that He'll heal you through it. I mean, one of the most precious time my wife and I have is worship together in the privacy of our home. Worship is so very important, both in the local church and at our home. The government of the church, fivefold oversight with local elders, deacons, and members. Now, I'm requiring that every board member get a tape and hear this message and listen to it, because we're going to be talking about it in our board advance. Well, we have the local elders, deacons, and members, but what are we doing with it? Not somebody. Hello. Everybody's looking down at the paper. What are we doing? What are we doing as a local church? I mean, are we impacting? See? Are we doing something with what we know? And then the apostles and prophets that we're looking at outside the local church and having a prophetic person in, probably in February. Somebody very prophetic, and the apostolic as well, looking at folks like Jeff and Nancy Clark and others that have that apostolic mantle. Tim Sheets. How many would like to have Tim Sheets back? Yeah. That apostolic mantle that has the vision apostolically across the spectrum. Yes. The local and practical ministry. The church, what is the nature of the church? In closing, very quickly, the church will take on the nature of its builder and maker. Nowhere in the Word do we read about a defeated bride, but one who rules and reigns with Christ. You can read about it. The church will be holy unto the Lord, Ephesians 5, where it talks about the husband and wife. Ephesians 5:24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that's local church, by the way, if you look that up, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So we can ascertain from that statement that we are sanctified and cleansed. If that's what God does, how many know God doesn't attempt to do something He doesn't complete? We're sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, i.e. local, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we can ascertain from that statement that we're not only sanctified and cleansed, but we're holy and without blemish. Remember Sunday we talked about being offered up as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, no bruises, nothing out of place. We're not disqualified. We're offering ourselves up because Christ has made us perfect to be able to do that. Come on, someone. Lots of conversations I've had since I've moved into the community. Oh, well, you know, We made too many mistakes. People don't forget around here. They hold the church to a standard, and this church did that, and this church did that. New Life used to do this, New Life used to do that. I told the story about being in another church in the community and preaching, and people come up and say to me, boy, we're very upset about what happened between New Life and our church. I looked at the person, I said, when was that? 1980? And you're still upset? 1980? I mean, I've lost all my hair since 1980. Come on, somebody. I mean, are you really, seriously, that's going to be a block, an obstacle for us getting the work done here in this community, that somebody offended somebody 30 years ago? Come on, someone. We've got to come together as a local church. I don't know of anybody like that here. I know when I first came, people said when people came to visit, because they always knew with new pastor they'd come, I heard a couple remarks about this person did that and this person did that. And I'm like, seriously? Like 10 years ago? When God built Rick Smale, he took all that out. I just don't know why people think like that. You could offend me yesterday and today I'm your best friend, huh? I might be upset for a little bit, but life goes on. Come on, somebody. It's not that I won't get upset. I might even get in your face. But 5 minutes later, I'm like, okay, let's move on. So we can get the work done. So you know, we had an argument and we came to a conclusion. I was right and you were wrong. That's good. Now I know I'm right. I knew I was right when I went into the thing. So not only the church will be holy, it will be unified. John 17:18. John chapter 17, it's up on your screen. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into what? Where does it say, I also have sent them to the local church? Come out. See? Sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me. Through what? Wait a minute. Jesus, you're getting things confused. Don't you mean they will believe in me through my word? That's not what he says. He says they'll believe in me through their word. I could preach on that for an hour. It's our word that we say. That they're going to believe in Christ through what we say. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How is the world going to believe that that Christ was sent by God? By our oneness. That's what it says. You know, the church is wagging its tongue and shaking its finger in front of the world. You're terrible. You guys are bad. Well, you guys can't even agree on. We need to come in unity and agreement that we may be one. And the glory, verse 22, which you gave me, I have given them. I have given them, past tense. Not will be giving, in the process of giving. Someday I will give. When revival comes in, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. Can you imagine the oneness in the local church? We are supposed to be one like Christ and God is one. How you like me now? Come on, somebody. You got to put up with me. I and them and you and me, that they may be, thank you, be made perfect in one, that the world be perfect, that they may be made perfect in one. He's talking plural people here. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The world says, man, that church, the language stops it. That church down there that used to make the chicken dinners, man, now they're, look at them. There's something different about them. I want to go over there. I don't care about the chicken dinner. I want to know what's going on. People are being healed there. People are being saved. People are actually happy when they leave there. I'm praying ever since Pastor Brad told me that the worst time at Kroger is from 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon on Sunday. Nobody wants it. I want that to change. I've been praying ever since then. God make 11 to 3 at where everybody wants to work. Man, I can't wait till Christians are coming. Man, can I get that shift? We were at Dairy Queen the other night. We had fundraising time at Dairy Queen. James and Amy came in. James has those, those bands, colored bands. And he just said, gives up to order his whatever he's getting. He takes a band. He goes, "Here, brother, take this. There, Lord bless you." Gave him a card with it. And he said a few things. I didn't hear everything he said. So he comes back and says, "You know, they bring the little thing, the number with the number on it, and they'll serve you." And so we're sitting there, and this guy leaves the counter, comes back, and he goes, "Hey, can I have another one of those?" The girl that's working with me wants one. He says, "Yeah, sure." He gave him another. And he came back about 2 minutes later. He said, "My manager wants one. You got a couple? Because everybody back there wants one." Come on, somebody. People are hungry. They saw what was on the band. And the kid started to talk to us, and I hope he's coming here Sunday morning. I mean, he loves the Lord. Been so busy, he's working two jobs since he got here in Rochester, and he's looking for a church and never had time to come. And it was just a divine appointment. But the whole staff took our bands, took James's bands. Church will be victorious. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It sure doesn't look that way. Looks like hell's getting the upper hand. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I don't think that is that rendition of that is right. I think probably the original language says, most things that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And most things that you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Not everything. Because there, everything, that's gone a little bit beyond the pale. Come on, let's get real. We can't bind everything. See, we can't. Golly days, come on, somebody. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble. Why did God... Somebody answer me this question, and then we'll go. Why did God wait 40 days to defeat Goliath? Why didn't David go out to Goliath on the second day? No, David wasn't there until 40 days. Why didn't God send David to the battlefield on the third day? Did you ever think of that? He didn't have the battle. I mean, David was at home watching the sheep. His dad could have sent him at any time. Why didn't he send him on the first day? David wasn't ready. That could be. That could be. Could have the lion and the bear in that 40 days. Yeah. That's one of the things, 40 days, yeah. God's time. We're in a position where this thing can be pointing. What? Okay.
It would have looked like David did it himself instead of having to wait all that time and then God show up and take care of it himself. Right. It would look like it was done in David's power. Uh-huh. David's power if he just did it the first or second day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the fear had been ingrained in the soldiers by then. Can you imagine how embarrassed you'd be? Trained in as a soldier, and this little kid in a shepherd's outfit runs out with a little sling. His brothers are scared of a little sling. And he defeats the giant. And that's a story that a lot of people probably change. Yeah, we beat them bad, man. You should have been there. It took us 40 days just to make the plans, but we chased them all the way to the river, you know. I asked the Lord that the other day. I said, why did you... And these answers are what I get the same answers. God's got to time it. And the world is in a bad place right now. And this is... We've got the answers. The church will be victorious. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, Romans 16:20 says. Woo! The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. The church will enter into dominion. Come on, somebody. We've got to rule and reign now, not on a sweet by and by. Jesus, please come so we can rule and reign. I want to rule and reign with you in Jerusalem. No, he says, I want you to rule and reign with me now. Ephesians 1:20, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which has come. And he put some things under his feet and gave him to be hood over some things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He didn't say some, he said all things. All things. I love that word all. The church will come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To a perfect man, Ephesians 4:13 says, to the perfect man, till we all come to unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is what we talked about on Sunday. Till my enemies are made a footstool, he gets up and begins to walk for his bride. The walk of marriage. Down the aisle. The relationship to parachurch ministries, because of the compassion and motivation of Christians, many organizations have taken up the call of the local church because the local church just hasn't done it. Come on, somebody. The reason why YWAM got so powerful is because the local church wasn't doing it. Missing young people. YWAM's training young people and sending them all over the world. And all the Margarets that go there usually don't come back. I'd love to have Margaret back. We need that fire. But that's probably not going to happen. When true revival comes, the church will once again rise to the occasion and parachurch ministries, I believe, will no longer be needed. I know there's a great trend right now to leave the local church and go to houses and all that. I'm not one that believes that, obviously. I believe in the power of the local church. I believe in the power of the local church. Yes, reach across boundaries and across the aisle and the other local churches in the community. Yes, but right here at New Life, I'm more determined than I've ever been to answer the call that I heard at that tree with the half-eaten cob of corn when God said, I'm sending you here for revival. I could still see it. I could still hear His voice. I said, God, 5 years later, I can't believe it. 5 years. Can you believe that? It's been 5 years. I'm going, God, are we any closer than we were? Am I a detriment to the vision? Have I been disobedient to the vision? Those are questions that every one of us has to ask. We have to do personal inventory because the time is coming. God wants to pour out His Spirit. And He told us, He picked us. As a church, He told us 3 years ago He picked us because another church turned Him down. Remember when that word came forth? Do you remember when that word came forth? Yeah. Yes. Andrew Murray, I think Pastor Brad and I were talking today. Satan doesn't care what you say as long as it's in the future or the past. As long as you say we're going to, he's not threatened by that. Okay, you're going to. You were saying that 10 years ago. Well, we used to. Well, that's not today. You used to. Those victories in the past. How many know? Now is the day. Behold, that now is today. Today is a day of salvation. Father, I probably said too much. But Lord, I pray that You would seize our hearts. This is the core of New Life that I'm looking at and I'm praying with and I love so much. God, there's changes afoot. I mean, we've got to make some changes, internal, external, the way we look, the way we walk, the way we talk, not only individually, but as a church. Father, that we might do the work that You called us to do. You've called us in this time for this place to bring in the harvest, to be about the work of the kingdom. So, Father, I pray, God, give us new, fresh ideas, new, fresh obedience to those ideas, God, that You would jettison us right into the center of Your will, and that, Lord, we would reach that multiplication that You desire. Father, we pray right now for those that are yet to be touched by Your Word. We pray for the prodigals. Pray for those who have left, and we pray for the lost. We continue to remember, God, we're weary from casting nets. We're weary, God, but You said that You would bring in a great harvest. I didn't say that. John Maxwell didn't say that. You said that You would build Your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Building Your church means You're going to win those people to You. Use us as vessels. Draw us as we enter our mission field. Father, give us new, fresh ideas. Lord, I lift up the elders and the deacons and the leadership here at this church that we might get the mind of Christ and walk it out. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters as they pray and we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through them, that we might formulate a plan and, like David, go in the strength that You've given us to defeat the giants in this community, to defeat the enemy soundly and put them under our feet. Father, all of that we ask with great faith, believing that it will come to pass. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.